I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the hour, we'll continue our summer series examining key trends in education with a conversation with a Nobel Prize-winning economist who's become one of the nation's leading advocates of early childhood education. He'll tell us why in a few minutes. But first, we return to another chronic and emotional issue in this country, immigration. Specifically, how best to proceed with enforcement of immigration laws in the absence of a comprehensive federal overhaul of immigration policy. Now, for many Americans, the idea of the home as a sanctuary from government intrusion is sacred. That was one of the issues behind the outcry over the arrest of Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates in his home last month. But what many people might not know is that there is a federal policy that allows law enforcement officers to target the homes of people who are not suspected of any violent crime. We're talking about home raids conducted by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE. Federal officials have long defended the raids as crucial to finding and apprehending illegal immigrants. But opponents charge that most of these raids are illegal, that officers routinely enter homes without proper cause, that they violate the rights of many people who turn out to be in the country legally and are at bottom offensive to core American values. And they ask why these raids continue under the Obama administration. Joining us to talk about this is Peter Markowitz. He's the director of the Immigration Justice Clinic at Cardozo School of Law, and he co-authored a recent study on ICE raids in private homes. Also with us is Jimmy Slaughter. He's an officer with Customs and Border Protection living in Yuma, Arizona, and Slaughter's own home was once targeted in one of these raids. I welcome you both. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Jimmy, could I start with you? I understand that you and your wife were doing chores one day last summer when ICE officers knocked on your door, a typical group seven officers. They were wearing bulletproof vests. They were wearing guns. What happened next?
Well, when I answered the door, they said they had information that their Guadalupe jewelry resided at my residence. And I know all the ICE people in this area, and I didn't recognize any of them, so I didn't know who they were. I held the door open and wanted to see what paperwork they had. They never stated they had a warrant. That's when my wife walked up and she said, "Is this the key? Is this a
candid camera?"
Yeah, candid.
Candid camera, because right. She didn't believe it. She thought it was some sort of
exactly.
A joke. And then what happened?
And then it kind of made him mad, the lead officer, and he said, "No, ma'am, it's not. Can you please step back?" Well, when she stepped back, I had my arm around her, and then five of them entered my house.
Were they never presented any paperwork showing they had authorization, and presumably you did not invite them in?
None.
And so they walked in.
I did not invite them in.
And then what did they do?
Well, they ordered us to the center of our living room and stated they needed to search the house. That's when I said, "Do you guys realize I'm a customs canine officer from San Luis, Arizona?" That's when they all stopped in their tracks, and the lead officer's eyes got real big, and he goes, "You are?" And I said, "Yes, I am. What are you doing in my house?" That's when I grabbed the paperwork from his hand, and I said, "Well, there was a picture of an illegal alien on it with my address." And I said, "Well, I've lived here since 99. I bought this house brand new, and I've never seen this woman in my life. You guys need to go to 26th place." They never asked for my ID, my creds, my badge, nothing. They just took me for my word. I could have been anybody. And
did
they left.
Did they leave after that?
Yes.
Now, I understand that this was very traumatic for your wife.
For my wife, yeah. She was, you know, it scared her. Because, you know, she respects law enforcement. Had I not been home, they'd been all through my house. She didn't know what to do. Luckily, I was home. My kids were at football practice.
Mm. So, Peter, I want to go to you. Your study examined 700 arrests between 2006 and 2008. How typical is Mr. Slaughter's experience from the study that you did?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's very typical and maybe even a mild version of what happened. You know, luckily, he was able to bring a quick stop to it by stating his credentials. Obviously, most people don't have that that avenue available. But what we found is that accounts like Mr. Slaughter's, which have been popping up regularly over the last several years, are much more than kind of sporadic, isolated incidents. They're very much part of a widespread pattern of misconduct that involves these kind of teams of heavily armed officers coming usually in the pre-dawn hours to homes and doing tactical type entries. Somebody cracks their door open, as Mr. Slaughter did, and often agents will just push their way in. We have accounts of agents climbing in through unlocked windows, entering through unlocked doors, in some instances even breaking, and then rapidly kind of clearing the house in a very aggressive manner with people in their night clothes. And you can imagine people kind of less comfortable with law enforcement than Mr. Slaughter, how that turns out in people's homes.
But talk to me, what is the misconduct in this case? Is it the fact that they enter without being specifically given permission to do so? Is the fact that they don't have warrants? Are warrants required?
Yeah, sure. There's several types of misconduct, but I think two stand out. One is, you know, as you mentioned in the intro, the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution protects our homes primarily. That's what was at the centerpiece of the idea of privacy in the framing of our Constitution. And the agency acknowledges that they don't have the authority to enter these homes without informed consent, and they acknowledge that they don't get judicial warrants like every other law enforcement agency does. So the primary illegality is when they push their way, walk past somebody, break their way into a home. That's one constitutional violation that kind of goes to the heart of the Fourth Amendment.
And I think the question for some people would be, look, if they are pursuing persons who they believe who have broken the law, who have broken immigration law, does the Fourth Amendment still apply?
Oh, there's no question it does.
There's no question that it does.
Mm-hmm. No, and the agency doesn't take the position that it doesn't. Everybody's in agreement about what the law is on this, that you can't enter anybody's home in the United States without a judicial warrant or consent. The issue is really a factual dispute. The agency has for a long time claimed that they gain consent 100% of the time. And, you know, the report documents accounts of local law enforcement who had officers accompanying ICE on these raids saying, simply, that's just not a credible number. Nobody gets consent 100% of the time, as the agency claims it does.
Well, in fact, your study found that in the Long Island sample, you examined 700 arrests in Long Island, New York, and in New Jersey. You found that on the Long Island sample, 86% had not received permission to enter the homes. And in the New Jersey sample, 24% had not received the required consent. And you believe that a significant percentage of that, the consent that they said they had, they really didn't, or it was either misreported or fabricated. Let me just tell our listeners that if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about immigration raids targeting private homes with Peter Markowitz, the director of the Immigration Justice Clinic at Cardozo School of Law. He just co-authored a study on ICE house raids. Also with us is Jimmy Slaughter. He's an officer with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection in San Luis, Arizona, and his home was targeted by a raid, and apparently it was a mistake that the address that they had didn't match the person that they were pursuing. So Mr. Slaughter, just talk to me about, first of all, you're not of Latino heritage. That's sort of thing one, and I just wondered how this experience kind of affected your thinking about this. What was your major concern, that the officers were impolite, or was it that they were sloppy?
Oh, they're acting like cowboys. They didn't query my address. My truck's parked out front. They did no surveillance whatsoever. They just came to my residence. What happened is it was a team, like a hit team, three from Phoenix, a couple from Eloy, and I think some came from San Diego. They met in Yuma and came straight to my house. They did nothing. They just came to my house without doing any surveillance. You know, my address is on file. They could have checked with the gas company, electric company. I'm the only one that's ever lived there. And then they show up at my house. This is the same people I work for.
It sounds like this was very upsetting to you, too.
Oh, sure it is. Well, it's like they have carte blanche, and they don't. They're lucky. I mean, one day someone's going to walk through the door, and they're going to get shot.
And Peter, what about what is it about this particular incident you think stands out? Is it what Mr. Slaughter said? Do you feel that this is routine, that this kind of lack of real effort to identify the targets that they're supposed to be searching for is the critical issue? And additionally, what happened to this notion, the original premise for these home raids is they were supposed to be targeting high-value individuals. Is that the case?
That's right. So these were billed to Congress as kind of elite immigration teams that were very heavily funded to go after the worst of the worst, people who posed a threat to national security or people who were violent criminals. But in 2006, they changed the incentive structure for their officers in terms of the arrest expectations, some would say quotas, such that they allowed them to count not only target arrests, the people that they told Congress they were going after, but any arrest. And this incentivized the agents to get into homes by any means necessary where they suspected somebody who might not have their papers in order could be. And what we saw is what happened in Mr. Slaughter's case became routine. It's a kind of one of the things that stood out. We had a law enforcement advisory panel that oversaw our report and helped us draft recommendations. And one of the things that kind of shocked and appalled them in looking at what we found was the sloppiness and cowboy mentality that went into their preparation, or rather lack of preparation.
We're going to have, Peter, Mr. Markovich, we're going to have a link to the report on our website so people can read those recommendations for themselves. But Mr. Slaughter, I want to give you the final word in the minute we have left. Law enforcement officer to law enforcement officer, do you have some recommendations about how this policy could be better pursued if indeed this is a policy that the administration wants to continue?
Well, I think it needs to be better supervised. They need to have a standard operating procedure. They need to follow the rules like everyone else. You can't just have carte blanche and walk in people's homes. Had I been the supervisor, I would have known that team was here. I would have made sure that it was done properly. You don't just go in people's homes. What if my children would have been home alone? I have 16-year-old twins. If anyone in the United States has received anyone else's mail by mistake, you're subject to this seizure because that's how they tracked this woman to my house.
Jimmy Slaughter is a Customs and Border Protection officer in St. Louis, Arizona. He was kind enough to join us by phone from his lawyer's office in Yuma. Peter Markovich is the director of the Immigration Justice Clinic at the Cardozo School of Law in New York. He joined us by phone from Three Oaks, Michigan. And as I mentioned, we'll have a link to the report that we're talking about on our website. Just go to the Tell Me More tab at thenewnpr.org. Gentlemen, thank you both so much.
Thank you.